Hello and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. I'm so glad you are here. Please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around for a bit and let's see what the Lord has for us as we spend time in His Word today. And welcome back to you regular listeners. I'm so glad that you are here. Thank you for downloading another day. Thank you for just coming along this journey with me and thinking about God's Word with me. I love thinking about His Word and studying His Word and sharing about His Word. It is so important, friends. It's how we can know more of Him. It's how He transforms us. As I mentioned a day or two ago, it's our spiritual nourishment. And so we must take this time. And it's not to check our box and say, oh, look what a good little Christian I am. I did my Bible study today. No, it's to know Him. It's to abide in Him. And, you know, I'm reminded, and I tell you this frequently, of what Jesus said to His disciples in John chapter 14, and I believe it's in verse 23, when He says, if anyone loves me, He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Friends, we can't keep His word if we don't spend time in His word and know His word. And so it's so important for us to do this. It's so important for us to be deliberate and intentional about reading and studying and thinking about His word. And there's several ways you can do that. You can listen like you're doing today, but also have times that you're reading. Have memory verses that you're working on. Be doing a small group Bible study or your Sunday school lesson. Listen to worship songs that have His word in it and that honor Him. Pray to Him, worship Him, think about Him. We can do that at different times throughout the day. It's not just a little 1 minute check your box thing and you've done your Christian work for the day. No, this is how we live. This is how we breathe. We bathe ourselves in the things of Him, and that helps us to keep our mind stayed on Him. Know that I continue to pray for you frequently, that the Lord will give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word, and that you will be intentional about your time with Him, and that you'll be drawn closer to Him. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. And as always, know that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me a message sometime. Let me know what the Lord's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him. Well, our verse for the day for, what is today, April the 3rd, 2024, comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, and it reads as follows from the English Standard Version. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Oh, friends, it describes the world that was happening then. It describes the world that is definitely happening now. There is no doubt that we see this. And, you know, Paul spent a lot of time in his letters giving descriptions of false teachers and how they were teaching false gospel and all of that. But this is talking about those who believe those false teachers and what they seek for. And so, or for what they seek, I should say. And so let's park here and see what we can learn today. How can we take this to heart? How can we heed this warning and stay true and keep our mind and our hearts fully stayed on Christ and fully believe in His word and doing what we're supposed to do instead of falling away like so many do and like so many have? And friends, it's only by God's grace that he draws us to him and that we can keep our mind and our heart stayed on him. It's not because we are anything special. It's only by his grace and only by the work of his Holy Spirit within us. And so I'm excited for us to park here and see what we can learn. But before we do that, let's take this little bit of time, as we usually do, to look and see where we are in the scripture, talk about who wrote this letter, to whom it was being written, what was the purpose, what was going on, because that is very helpful. It will help us remember, it will help us to understand, and help us to be able to share. Well, we see at the beginning of the letter that it's from the Apostle Paul. And we know that because it says in 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we've talked about many of the other times when we've been in Paul's letters, I love the way that he opens up his letters. He tells us who wrote it and usually to whom it's being written. And that's helpful because we've been in other letters and books where we don't get that very clear indication. But Paul wrote 13 of the 27 letters or books that we have in the New Testament, and he did all of his pretty much this way. And he tells Timothy that he's an apostle of Christ Jesus. You know, Paul gave his credentials, his authority for why he could write some of these strong letters, and it was because he was appointed directly by the Lord Jesus to be a messenger, to tell the good news of this gospel, to share the truth of the mystery of the gospel, that Jesus came not just for the Jews, not just for the chosen people, but for everyone. And that was not a new concept. It was all the way back in the Old Testament in the law, but somehow it had been lost. And the good news was that Jesus did come, and we just celebrated what he did for us when he died and was buried, and then he was resurrected on that third day, and he did that for you and for me. He defeated death and hell and sin in the grave, and paid the penalty that we owed for our sin, and made a way for us to come to the Father, made a way for us to be cleansed, made a way for us to have eternal life. And I'm just so thankful for that. But Paul tells Timothy that, as I mentioned, he just says, these are my credentials. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it was by the will of God. And it was according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. I suspect Paul was thinking a lot about that eternal life at this time, because he knew at the point that he was writing this letter to Timothy that his time was drawing nigh. His time on earth was drawing to a close. This is thought to be the last letter that he wrote before he was martyred. And he was in a Roman prison, and he was sending his beloved child in the faith, his true child in the faith, Timothy, these closing instructions, much like we do. If we're getting ready to head off somewhere and we've got family at home or folks at work or whatever, we say, don't forget to do this. These are the things that need to be done. Please remember this. And that's what Paul was doing with Timothy here. It's an important thing to think about Paul being an apostle, because the apostles were appointed as messengers, and it was a divine appointment. Paul had started out as a Pharisee, and he was against Christians. He was against the way, this new way, because he thought they were blasphemers. He was a very zealous religious Jew in that group of Pharisees, and they prided themselves in knowing the law and the prophets. And that many of them had missed that Jesus truly was this one that all the law and the prophets had talked about. But God graciously, even though Paul had, he describes himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent of the gospel before he met Jesus, God graciously allowed him that additional meeting of Jesus on the Damascus Road. And we read about that in Acts chapters 9, 22, and 26. And I would encourage you to go back and read that if you haven't read that story in a while. But it talks about the encounter that Paul had with the resurrected Lord Jesus. And after he had that encounter that completely changed his life, he went away to Arabia for about 3 years and then started on some missionary journeys. And it was on one of these journeys that he met the young Timothy. And it was when they were in Lystra and Derbe. And it says in Acts chapter 16, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. And remember, those places, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, and I believe Pisidian Antioch were some of those cities in that region of Galatia. We talked about that a few days ago when we were Galatians. But it says here in verse 3, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And they went on their way through the cities. They delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. We know that Timothy was a very close traveling companion with the Apostle Paul. And as I mentioned, like in this letter of 2 Timothy, Paul calls Timothy his beloved child. In 1 Timothy, he calls Timothy my true child in the faith. And so he was one that Paul was just, he wanted to teach him how to share the gospel. And he often sent him different places to strengthen the churches and to pick elders and set up the different churches. But Timothy and Titus were two that worked very closely with the Apostle Paul. And in fact, this letter, these letters of 1st and 2nd Timothy, as well as that letter to Titus, are known as pastoral epistles. They're encouragement to these young men who are also pastors, who are overseers, who are leaders in the different churches. And so Paul wanted Timothy in this letter, though, to have these final instructions. He knew things were getting more difficult, that persecution was arising, that there was more and more suffering for those who are believers, but he was encouraging him to continue to preach the word, to remain true to the gospel, to endure that suffering because that it was temporary, but it was also what the believer must do to stand up for, as they're standing up for Christ. And so he very much was sending this letter as an encouragement. And I love how he opens this letter of 2 Timothy. He says, I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And he goes on to tell him not to be ashamed of what Paul has endured and about the testimony of our Lord. And he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. And I just love that Paul reminds Timothy that the power, the spirit that he has is not of fear. The spirit that God has given him is not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And everything, all that enduring of the suffering can be done not because of our own strength, but because of that Holy Spirit that was graciously given to all believers when we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And the one more thing that I love that Paul points out is the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother and how that was passed down. And so that's an encouragement to me and a reminder to me to make sure that I'm passing down to those that I love the truth that we find in the gospel, that we mustn't be ashamed of the gospel. And like Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God for salvation. That's the good news. And so we want to share that. We want to share that with others so others can have this eternal life. And that's so important, sharing the truth of the gospel and not some false gospel or watered down gospel is so necessary, because it's the true gospel that has the power of God for salvation. That's going to really tie in with our verse for the day. And Paul's letter very much continues with this same focus of encouraging Timothy about, you know, holding fast to the truth. He, in this chapter 2, he reminds him about being a good soldier of Christ and being a workman approved by God, rightly handling the word of truth. And then in this chapter 3, he reminds him once again that in these last days there will be godlessness. And oh, friends, he saw that then. We see this now. I want you to hear this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. And then he reminds him that all scripture, this scripture that we have, and this is something that we say almost every podcast, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's the end of chapter 3. He's just reminding Timothy, and then he rolls over into this chapter 4, which is where we find the verse for the day. And he says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." And then here's our verse. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." And I'm going to read right past that. "And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." And so, friends, oh my gracious, don't we see that now? And the difference is, are we following, are people following their flesh, their own passions, their own desires, what their itching ears want to hear? Or are they following the things of Christ? Are they following the things of the Spirit? It's one way or the other. If you follow the things of the flesh, those things are selfish. They're worldly. They are not the things of God. But if we follow God and we follow what His Holy Spirit guides us into, that's where we want to go. And it's not popular. We see that in, and I dare say it may hurt somebody's feelings, but gracious, this is important for eternity. Many of the mega churches, many of the famous preachers, so-called preachers that we see on the TV and online and that sort of thing, if they are super, super popular and everybody's flocking to them and they're telling a feel-good message and they are not preaching repentance of sin and holding fast to the truth of the word, and they try to explain away parts of the word or say it really doesn't say what it says in black and white, or they try to fit their worldly lifestyle and twist the word to make it seem to make sense for them, run. Run as hard and fast as you can. This is why we must be in the Word. We need to be able to discern when these false teachers are tickling, itching ears, when they are saying things, you come out and you feel so good about yourself because you've been to church and you're all empowered because of about you. And you have not repented of your sin, and you are not realizing that everything that you have comes from the Lord, that He gives everything, that any ability that you have to do anything comes from Him. But you've got this puffed up idea about yourself. You have been taught by a false teacher, and that is not sound teaching in accordance with the Word. We must know the Word. The things of God are contrary to the things of the world. So, like I mentioned, if something is super, super, super popular, you need to be suspicious. You need to be suspect. Because if the world loves what sounds good, that needs to be a big red flashing light, and we need to double check. We need to really search and make sure, are they holding fast to the truth of the gospel? It's so important. That's how people are easily deceived. People who think that they are believers and that they're doing the right thing. But we need to know the Word, and that's why we must read the Word, study the Word, live it out, and share it. Paul said, you know, a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. We see that. Look at this whole thing with gender, and many of the people, especially in leadership, have said, oh, well, now we can't go by the biology and all of that sort of stuff. They've totally changed things around, totally flipped upside down. They're calling, like what Isaiah warned us about in his prophecy, they're calling evil good and good evil, and trading light for darkness and darkness for light. This cannot be. We must hold fast to the truth that's in the Word, and we can't hold fast to it. We can't know it. We can't pick these things out if we're not spending time in it. So I encourage you, I exhort you, I beg of you, spend time in the Word, know the truth in the Word, and then don't be ashamed of this gospel, because it is the power of God to salvation for all who will believe. And aren't we thankful? May we follow Him with all that we have for His glory. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.